Hello. Oh, shit. What episode is it?
56.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome to episode 56 of Divided by Werewolves. This is a typical production standards we have here, where I know what episode it is, and you're lucky if I know what day it is. So sorry for the delayed episode. I was on vacation, and so I was unable to podcast on account of the fact that I was on top of a mountain in Tennessee, and we had to pay extra for the Wi-Fi, and we were unwilling to do that. And also, I'm pretty sure my wife would have killed me if I was like, yeah, you need to hang out with my family while I go talk to Mitch.
I'm family.
I agree. You should have been there with us. We had a great time. So let's see. So we have a lot to talk about. We're going to get into a couple movies. We're going to talk about The Predator. We're going to talk about Mandy. But before that, I have to tell you about the baddest of badass nights in Destiny 2 that I had last night.
I'm excited.
So first of all, I'm just like completely thrilled with the way they have expanded activities in this game to where when you log in, you just are spoiled for choices.
Yep.
Although it does give me anxiety. I don't know if you have the same thing.
Well, I play on two consoles and have all three classes on both. So yes.
Oh, yes, okay, I do. Great. Yeah. So like the knowing that the weekly reset is coming and being like, Oh shit, I need to get more bounties or bet this or they get that. Yeah. Yep. The struggle is real. So last night was my first night back, playing, actually I haven't really been playing, too much at all week. And so, so my wife was like, why don't you, I'll get up and that way you can kind of do your thing. And I was like, okay, cool. So I logged in and I had a bunch of bounties and whatnot to do and trying to figure out what to do kind of before the various resets and whatnot. So I was like, well, you and I had talked before. So we had, I did one quest where you have to do like waves of kind of escalation mode, which is like their version of horde mode from, was it the Warmind exception or expansion? Sorry.
Yeah.
So they have this mode called escalation, and basically they destroy towers, and you start them, and a whole bunch of hives show up, and you have to kill them, and then more hives show up, and you have to do everything in a certain amount of time, and then it just kind of keeps going and going, and then it gets harder and harder and harder. And so we both have the sleeper quest where we have to complete three waves of escalation, but I also had...
It's not that. I thought that was it. For sleeper, not to butt in, but
yeah,
I thought the same thing. And so I was doing it and I completed a wave. I got in a group with like two other guys. And of course, you know, the way the light level is now, we're all higher than what EP is. But so I get in there and there's three of us and I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. And so we clear the first wave, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second wave starts and we run out of time trying to kill that goddamn wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to check my progress, and I'm at zero. And I'm like, well, we cleared it. No, we have to get through level three,
okay,
which I've never done.
Yeah, neither had I, which is why when you had texted me and said we need to get to level three, I was like, well, that's not going to happen because we've never gotten past level one. But then you had said, well, we'll just need to get lucky and get with some randoms.
Yeah.
So I just on a lark last night when I jumped in, I was like, well, let me let me see if anybody's around. So I go to Mars and there's one already in progress. So I was like, oh shit. So these guys, I mean, they were fucking amazing. Like they were on fire. And we just had like, we had a couple hunters that were tethering. And so then I'd fucking Omega Beam my super. And of course, when you're tethering, the damage is spread among all the enemies. So yep. It would be like they would tether, I would super, I'd get all my orbs back. They would tether again, I would super, I'd get all my orbs back. They would tether again, nice. I would super. And it was just orbital strike after orbital strike. And just the air was just redolent with the smell of scorched ogre and fucking melted wizards. And so, you know, I get to three and the thing pops up. And for the Ikelos, you know, okay, because that's only half of it. I still have to do 15 sleeper nodes or whatever.
Right.
So I have this other quest that it's like, do 10 waves of escalation.
Yep, yep.
And I was like, fuck, baby, let's just roll.
Let's go.
We steamrolled. I felt bad. I felt embarrassed for the hive in the game, because with the exception of the absolute last boss, like, have you gotten to the last level?
Dude, again, never cleared wave two.
Still. Okay, so what happens in the very, very
this is a wet dream for me, what you're describing right now.
What happens in the very, very, very last level of escalation is this giant ogre, like, think of the biggest ogre you've seen in Destiny and multiply it by three. That's how big this fucking thing is.
Yeah.
It shows up and it'll do a ground pound and it will be shielded until you take out all of the wardens, I think they're called. And the wardens are other ogres and wizards and shit. So it's like you take them down and then you get a shot on the boss and immediately he shields himself. And you only have like 4 minutes or something to do it.
Yeah.
So we finally got through them all. We fucking kill the whole goddamn thing. I'm like, yes. I jump up to the chest, and it's like, oh, you need a cache key or something.
That hurts.
And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And that it's hurts. Like, yeah, you need a it's not hacked. I forget what it is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That sucks.
And I was like, I don't know what that means. And yeah, ooh, there are these pieces, these Warmind fragments or something, and you're supposed to bring them to Anna, and she'll give you a cache key.
Yeah.
And then if you – and I was like, okay, oh, well. It probably wouldn't have given me anything at my level anyway. I would imagine most of that stuff would be lower.
So this week was the week for the shotgun. The shotgun, like the fabled escalation protocol shotgun. And so everybody was like grinding – escalation protocol this week, the people that don't have that shotgun, because that's the one that like everybody uses in the raid for that one that on the second phase.
Is that the one?
Yeah,
like that comes from a chest.
Yep, that's from, so the escalation protocol stuff, basically the armor and weapons I think are on a weekly thing, and this week was the week that you had a chance to get the shotgun from the final chest.
Oh, I didn't know to know that.
Yeah. I thought you were about to tell me you got the shotgun, and I was going to take my goddamn headset off and throw it across the room. I was done.
No, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I jumped in because I don't even know, like, that quest to do 10 waves of escalation. I don't even know what that's for.
I think it's those like, computer terminals behind Anna where she's at, and I think you end up getting, like, a sparrow from that. It's not worth doing. Not really.
But like, the next thing I have to do is there's something else I have to do next. I can't remember what it is.
Right. Like, but each terminal, I think by the end, I think what you get is a sparrow. I could be wrong about that, but
that would definitely, like, I know, good.
I just want sleeper. Like, that's what I'm. That's where I'm at right now.
Right. So I did the three waves wave three. So I have to do the what are they called? Resource nodes or?
Yeah, the weird whatever the nodes are. Yeah, I have enough of the materials. You know, you have to turn in like X amount of the green ones to make the blue one
to open them.
So I have enough to get through the 15. I just need to get through the three escalation level three escalation protocol.
Yeah. See, and I don't have enough. I think I have enough to do six of those things. I'll have like 24 of them or something.
Yeah.
So. But anyway,
Destiny gone Destiny.
Yeah, right. So I felt pretty good about that. And then I was like, I'm going to do some Gambit because I needed to get my my kills for Ace of Spades. Mm-hmm. And then I hadn't done the one match or the three matches. And man, I fucking love Gambit. I finally got a hand cannon that was good. And so, you know, I jump in and I'm doing stuff and I'm killing things and, you know, I'm banking moats and all this shit. And it's like, you're being invaded. I fucking hunted that guy down. I hunted. I was like, normally if I'm being invaded, I'm like, okay, I'll try to keep an eye out for where they are. But for the most part, I'm just going to keep doing my thing.
Yeah.
I fucking hunted this guy down and I put him on his knees and I put a fucking bullet in his head. And I actually was like, you know, I was so happy because you get so much more, so many more points towards that quest.
Yeah.
If you kill an invading guardian than you do just by killing enemies. I was so happy. And then I fucking jump into there. Like I had to, one of the bounties for Gambit was void kills, and I don't do a lot with the void super, so I switched to my void class, and I jumped in there, you know, I jumped in a game and I'm killing things and whatnot, and I get my super and they're like, the portal's open, and I was like, Nova bomb incoming. So I jump into I jump through the portal and they're all fighting their primeval. And the cool thing about the way that Gambit works is that, so like, the goal is to kill things to get motes, and then you bank motes, and if you bank motes like at a cert 5, 10, and whatever, 20, I think it is, you'll put in like taken that blocks them from banking modes. So they have to kill the thing before their portal thing opens to bank modes. Mm-hmm. But if they get their primeval before you do, or even if they just have it, if you go through the portal and kill guardians, it will restore health to their primeval. So the goal is, the way you win Gambit is you either get your primeval first and then kill it, or I think if the other team gets theirs and you keep them from killing it before the time runs out, you'll win.
Mm-hmm.
So they had their primeval, and they had it way before we did. So I fucking jumped through, and I came out, and they didn't know I was there, and I jumped across this gap, and I shot a Nova bomb, and I totally missed the landing. So I am falling to my death, and I'm just like, I don't know how this is going to work. And it sees, and it says, you killed, you know, whatever, Johnny Hightop, you killed so-and-so, and then I died. And I was like, fucking worth it. Like, I killed two of them. Before I died, I am totally happy with that.
Yes. Yes.
So I did a bunch of Gambit, and then I'm killing guys with my hand cannon, and killing guys with my hand cannon, and it's like, you're being invaded. And I was like, oh, dude, wrong time. And I fucking hunted that guy. I was zigging and zagging and fucking bullet timing and jumping, and I put right through that fucker's chest. Yeah, and it was like, bing, hey, Spades, next quest up. And I was like, I officially do not give a shit about Gambit for the rest of the night. and then we still won, because, and I came out first place because I fucking kicked ass. It was badass.
That's awesome. That's so amazing, and that's so the difference in the Destiny experience between playing with one character versus feeling like you have to do everything with six characters every week. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a fucking, like you texted me today about what you did last night, and I was like, oh, cool. I did the same shit we'd already done with a different character.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, hey, now my Titan can play. And I was like,
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I like the fact that I spent a bunch of time, and we talked about this, like trying to get to the burning or the Dreaming City. And then you get to the Dreaming City and it's like, oh, no. This stuff is way higher level than you. And I actually like that, because
I do too.
It gives you a reason to still, you know, because before it was always, you do a bunch of shit and then the next thing you can do is raid. And it's like, I don't care how fucking high a level I am, I don't have the time to raid. It doesn't matter. So knowing that, you know, okay, there's stuff in the Dreaming City that I can't do, but if I you know, do a bunch of stuff, that'll give me something to work towards. And then the dungeon that they did this week,
that's awesome.
You something to work towards.
Before. Like, it would, even in D1, like, it would all be laid out for you. You just had to hit the light level, but you had to do the same shit over and over. And I kind of feel like with with this expansion with Forsaken, they've perfected the experience because while, yeah, some of the things like the flashpoints and this and that, it's kind of repetitive and grindy, but like you don't have to do that. There's so many other options to get that powerful gear to level up. And then there's this, all this other shit that's already waiting. It's not a new expansion. It's stuff that we can't do yet. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, that's like that makes it number one, it makes you willing to do that shit over and over again but at the same time, again, there's so many options that you may not have time to do all of it again. So
right.
This is what you feel like doing. Do you feel like doing a flashpoint or do you want to play Gambit? You know, you can do one or the other.
Right. And like I don't know how many quests, like Halliday had a quest and she's like, you need to go kill, you know, get final blows in Crucible with a shotgun. And I was like, well, I don't see that happening, but I'll try it. It might take a while. I might get every, I don't know, fifth match, get a kill, but that's fine. Like, I'll try it. And so what it really does though, is it allows you to say, well, I don't want to do that. Like I did this week, the daily heroic, do three daily heroic stories and then you get a piece of powerful gear.
Yeah.
It's just not, I don't like it. Like it's just not fun to keep doing story stuff. So I'm not gonna, and if I miss out, then big deal, especially knowing that I'd have to do three of them. But there's so much other stuff. I'd rather do.
I love that. I love doing those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do every week. I've done them every week. They're quick. They're easy.
I don't know. It guaranteed. Just feels so grindy.
Well, sure, but I mean, I could do that, or I could do three rounds of Crucible, which I don't fucking want to do.
See, and that's the difference, I think, is I would rather do Crucible because I feel like, all right, I do one Crucible match, I get one piece of gear. I do five Crucible matches, I get another piece of gear. I don't have to win. I just need to do them.
Right. Yeah, well, so that's the thing. Like I'll do one Crucible match because it's quick and painless, but I'm not doing five, man. I'm just not.
Yeah.
So if I can do three campaign missions, done. That's easy.
Well, I mean, I like Crucible more than you do.
Yes, you do.
Which is weird. It's weird that I like it at all. But but yeah, I mean I think the Taken King, they did a fantastic job with D1, and I think they did a fantastic job with Forsaken in terms of kind of, you know, revitalizing, you know, and I'm sure soon I'll get to the point where I won't have, you know, as many options of things to do, but I think that's going to take a long time.
Yeah. Well, and the other question, that the main question to be asked is, why can't they nail it right off the bat? Like, it almost feels intentional at this point after two games.
I don't know. I feel like what they did in D2 is the problem is Destiny has three player bases.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the people who go into Best Buy and the day it comes out, they spend $60, they play it for however many months, and then they're done with it. They don't care about rating, or they don't care about increasing their light level. They're not going to throw aside, you know, a gun when they get another version of it, because this one may have different perks. They're just going to go, I shoot it, I point it at the aliens, and I pull the trigger, and they die, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
Then there's, I think, people like us who are like, no, I'm gonna get a bunch out of this game. I wanna progress my guardian. I wanna, you know, do the things when the reset comes. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanna do that stuff. Maybe I don't like everything, but I'll do most of it. And I'm happy when I get good stuff. I'm gonna do quests for exotics, even if it means for some of that stuff I don't. You know, I have to do stuff I don't want to do. And then you have the super hardcore guys, I think, like John, right? Like, these guys, they have a goal in mind. They want to raid. They want to raid, you know, to the best of their ability. They want to be world's first. They want to be that 1% of 1%.
Yeah.
You know, where these things, you know, to them, there's a huge section of activities they don't care about because they progress so quickly, so high, so quickly that the things that you and I look to improve don't matter to them anymore.
Right.
And so I think, you know, Bungie, I don't know how you would manage that stuff.
It's, yeah.
Because like when I was trying to explain Destiny to my son, I felt like I was speaking another language, like that video, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And you're trying to explain that this system and that system and there's light and there's this and there's that. And to me, it's just become second nature. So, you know, they're trying to balance all this stuff. And how can you balance it between all of those people and give them all something they can be happy with?
Exactly. We talked about this. Well, we mentioned this on the show before. Like, I don't think that – I think for D1 especially, Bungie was not prepared for – I think they thought three friends would buy the game and one would pick one class.
Yeah.
And then they would go from there. And I don't think they were prepared for however many million people bought it and did everything every week with all three characters.
I don't think they expected this game to be – I think they probably hoped – beyond hope that it would turn out this way, but I don't think they expected it to be a lifestyle game.
Right. Like, I mean, people are earning a living making YouTube videos about this game still. Right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which would terrify me because I got bills to pay, and like, what if suddenly nobody starts watching? Like, Destiny 2, like, I think those guys for the first year of D2 were probably sweating bullets.
Because because every week they're like, okay, guys,
you should be playing this, and here's why.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's only so much you can do. They're like, okay, I did everything. All right, it's Tuesday at 1:30, and we're done. What am I going to do next tomorrow? All right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to make cookies.
And like it was weird to me because, you know, I watched a fuck ton of YouTube because that's how I passed the time at work. And so many people who had only ever done Destiny videos were suddenly making Fortnite videos and Monster Hunter videos. Forsaken has been like the second coming.
Oh, absolutely. With all the little hidden things and the just look at what dropped this past week. Just this past week with no fanfare whatsoever. No messages, no, you didn't log in. It's just like no fanfare whatsoever. Oh, by the way, here's a dungeon and you can get whatever.
And they didn't tell you shit. People had to fight.
You can get this exotic bow. Oh, by the way, you're playing Gambit? Oh, you can get this, you know, Ace of Spades is fucking evil twin.
Yeah.
And they don't, and I think that's where the money is. And I think they understand that. They're like, if we want people talking about this and we want people making videos about this, we need to give them a reason to. And the way we do it is we sprinkle little nuggets here or there, and then we flip a switch and we watch people lose their shit.
Right. And we don't tell them a goddamn thing, and we just wait till somebody finds it.
Right. Absolutely.
And I love it. I absolutely love it. Yes.
Me too. Yep. All right. Let's see. So real quick, I finished Spider-Man. It was great. They did, without giving plot stuff away, there was a thing I said, I don't know, it was like the second to last night that I streamed it. And I said, wow, I really hope this thing happens. And then it did, at the end. And I was just super excited. I can't wait for them to make another one.
Nice.
Because the way that they left this first one, holy shit, the things they could do with the second one, it's just gonna be fucking insane. So you know, I'm super happy for Insomniac, you know, because you know, this has been, you know, Sony said this is their best-selling exclusive ever, which when you consider the number of exclusives that Sony has. And I always felt like Insomniac was not always given its due because Naughty Dog got more accolades. Yep. Yep. And I mean, the Uncharted games are great. Last of Us is great. But when you look at, you know, the number of great Ratchet and Clank games, when you look at Infamous, I think that, you know, even Sunset Overdrive.
Sunset Overdrive is heartbreaking for me because I loved that game so much. And the fact that it's an Xbox exclusive and nobody fucking played it is just heartbreaking to me.
Yeah. But, you know, hopefully.
It's so good.
And my hope is that people play Spider-Man and then they go, oh, wait, Ratchet. Like, Ratchet and Clank, what's it, Crack in Time? That's one of my favorite games ever. I think that is a fantastic game. And for a game that seemed like it was going to be the end of Ratchet and Clank, it was just fucking amazing. Like, I love that game. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if people look at Insomniac, and even if they go back and they play Second Son, which, as far as Infamous goes, to me, Infamous 2 is the best Infamous.
It is, 100%.
But Second Son's still a good game.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will, you know,
kind of... Like I said, we've talked about this before. That's my one platinum.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, Second Son, my one and only platinum in my history of trophies is Second Son. I liked it that much.
Yeah, I love that game.
So it, like, I love that game for so many reasons. One of them is, like, I genuinely dig the characters in the story. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the gameplay. Like, I have friends on my phone who never call me, but if they do, it's Delson's ringtone. And if they ever call me, like, if Anthony ever calls me, I'm gonna lose my shit because it's Delson's ringtone. But then also, it's the first thing that I remember you streaming, and I would do my best to make it at 7 o'clock to watch you play it.
Right.
And so, like, so many things about that game where I'm just like, this is what I want out of entertainment, right? Yeah. I get to play it. I get to watch you play it.
Right.
I love the story. And yeah, I fucking, that's my one platinum.
Well, Spider-Man's an easy platinum.
I've read that.
I mean, it's there is one of them that I thought would be difficult. There's one where you web two guys together using trip mines, and you just get it. If you're just, I mean, as the game progresses, unless you play on easy, you kind of have to use gadgets and stuff in order to get through things. So just by default, you end up getting it. But it was really good. It was a game that, while, like, I as much as I love Destiny, I got super focused on Spider-Man because it was just so much fun to play that I just wanted to keep playing it. Right. So,
And I fully believe that would have happened to me as well if I hadn't gotten so aggravated with Best Buy and left my copy and not picked it up.
Well, thankfully, it's not going anywhere, right?
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I fully expect to be able to buy it for around $30 on Black Friday, which I will do, and I'll play the shit out of it then. So,
yeah. Okay, so I guess you're just playing Destiny. I shouldn't say that's a great.
Yeah,
thing
I'm playing it. I'm playing it on two systems, and it's a full time job. So yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have two movies. Because of my travel, unfortunately, Hold the Dark is not one of them, but we will be talking about that on the next show, and that will be, you know, kind of, you know, you were saying.
That's a contender for, like, having not seen it, it's already a contender for movie of the year, so. I'm excited about that movie is a gross understatement.
Well, unfortunately, fortunately, we don't have to try to fit it and Halloween into the same episode.
Well, I think Venom, I think, is the next thing. Is it Venom soon?
I don't know.
I think Venom is like only a few days away.
I was kind of hoping you wouldn't
mention. You don't want to see Venom?
Oh, God, no.
What? Tom Hardy? Come on.
I love Tom Hardy, but from what I've seen so far, it just seems terrible.
No, I'm still holding out hope, man.
I'll go see it, but I
gotta have hope.
I don't expect much. All right, so what do you want to do first? Let's do Predator first.
Predator, So I feel like, I don't know, based on our tweets and our interactions for the past couple of weeks, I kind of feel like the Predator we may or may not agree on, but we probably won't agree at all on Mandy. So let's wait for Mandy for last.
Okay, so Predator, I guess I don't understand why it's so hard to make a good Predator movie.
That is a very valid question.
Like, I just, you've got these technologically advanced.
They did two great ones.
Big game hunters. Like, and they go to planets and they hunt things, including people. And somehow, despite Predator coming out in what? Like 86 or 87?
87 maybe? Yeah, the first one, yeah.
You know, we've really only had two good ones. And then you have the awesome...
We've had lots of great comics.
Exactly. We've had all these awesome Batman versus Predator and Predator versus Aliens and all this shit. But in terms of movies, we have... You know, they kind of keep missing the mark. And Predator was a fun movie. But, you know, it also... You know, it just didn't, I don't know. I liked the Loonies. I thought they were great.
Yeah.
I liked Olivia Munn's character.
So before we really get into it, I've said this on social media, so this won't be a surprise anyway. I don't understand. I understand having problems with this movie. I am fucking, like, completely confused at what people like honed in on as the problems.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like, yeah, the movie has issues. Of course it does. It's not a great movie. It's a fun movie, but like what bothered you was I don't give a shit whether you thought Olivia Munn was believable as a scientist.
I thought she was great.
Why do you care? Like she's like, yeah, she's fine. Exactly. But like, was she a scientist? Like, do you think that girl and you have a problem with the fact that she's a scientist and suddenly like she becomes a badass who has combat training? Who the fuck cares?
I didn't have a problem with her at all. I thought it was fantastic that she was running with the trank gun and jumping on the
like what the, is
that? Yeah, I didn't have a problem with
major
that at all.
Complaint? Are you serious? Like that's what bothers you?
I didn't have a problem with that at all. I thought that they did a good job with her by giving her plenty to do. She wasn't like in the first movie, just some woman that they dragged along.
Exactly.
I liked her just fine. I thought that
I
she,
too.
You know,
yeah, she was fine. Didn't bother me at all.
The issues that I had with the movie were just. There were things that as you were watching, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Right. Yes, that is my issue as well. Like I liked the movie. I would imagine I probably liked it better than you did.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. This is why we need to watch shit together. I wish we could just watch things together so much. Like I think it, not only would it benefit the show, but like I genuinely think I would enjoy movies more if you were sitting here watching them while I was watching them.
I agree. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that actually because October 19th ain't that far away, bro. So
goddamn right.
Yeah,
you're right.
But yeah, so this movie, like it makes no sense.
It really doesn't.
I love the fact that it knows that it doesn't make sense, and it never takes its foot off the gas pedal.
Yes.
It is fucking nuts from start to finish. And I don't know how much of that has to do with, like, the script. Because I love Shane Black.
Me too.
And putting aside whatever the revelations from – I don't know what happened. I know Darwin was upset with him.
Well, what happened was he cast this guy in the movie who's a friend of his – and in the movie, he was just some bit part that was supposed to be like hitting on Olivia Munn.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out he had sexual relations with a 14-year-old at one point, and so was, you know, kind of like.
What?
And so, but I guess what happened was initially the way the friend described things to Black there was not actually the way it was. So he cast this guy, if you believe him, he cast this guy because this guy was a friend and the guy explained things to him one way. So he was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then Olivia Munn was like, what the fuck? And then it came out that things were not the way the friend explained it to him. So then he kind of put out the statement and distanced things. And her point was that, you know, here I kind of bring this up to the studio. I get this guy's scenes cut and I'm out here on a limb all by myself. Like nobody is supporting me and nobody. And so, and I, you know, it's one of those things. I don't really know. I can't say that it affected my enjoyment of the movie because there was enough wrong with the movie in the first place. But I mean, I think it really does come down to if you believe what Shane Black said in terms of how things were initially presented to him, you know, if he treated her poorly or distanced himself because he's like, well, this guy was my friend. Why are you making a big deal out of this? But I don't
see, and that shit like that is so disappointing that like I at this point, I'm scared to be a fan of anybody anymore because it seems like everybody's a piece of shit to some extent. And I'm just exhausted, man. I'm just like, I don't want to hear anymore because it's so disappointing. And I just want to watch a fucking movie. And I know I should, you know what I mean? Like that's.
No, I get it. I think in this situation, what seemed to happen was that, you know, she brought this up and the studio responded, and I don't know if the rest of the cast agreed with her. And unfortunately, it seemed like rather than kind of standing by her, they were just like, okay, you're kind of on your own. And I think that's a shitty thing to do.
That is a very shitty thing to do.
I think if you spend 6 weeks working with a person and then they bring up legitimate concerns about somebody that they had a scene with, you should back them. And you don't have to write some huge thing on Facebook or whatever, but I think you should support them. And then if it turns out that they're wrong, that's one thing. But in this case, she was right. So I think, you know, for her to feel that way is not that Olivia Munn needs my opinion, but
right.
So, and then I think on top of it, the movie end up kind of being like all over the place. Like it was a movie while you're watching it, it's kind of easy to go, aha, that's funny. But then if the, for me, like just a second, if I left to go to the bathroom, I would have been like, wait, what?
Yeah. That's the thing, right? This movie, and I know there were talks of like studio intervention or studio, you know, fuckery, like they're right. But at the same, and that's fine. I understand that happens, and there's reshoots and this and that. But still, in some iteration, this script existed, and I can't wait for the fucking commentary on the DVD because
or like a director's cut or
something that tries to make sense out of this fucking movie because. I'm watching it, okay, and like the first hour or so, I'm sitting there like, this is fucking great. What's everybody's problem?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's basically a Predator movie. Mm-hmm. The Predator shows up. It kills some motherfuckers, you know, and it's doing its Predator thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy survives it, and the government's trying to cover it up. And I'm cool. I'm like, yep, that's a Predator movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens and
something
and it's like, well, wait a minute, we still got 40 minutes here to fill out. What about this? Well, let's do this. And I'm like, just pick one.
Yes.
Like there's no reason to throw so many ideas against the wall and see which one sticks. And it's like I don't understand what was going on. I understand, sure, super predators coming in to hunt regular predator. Fine. So why was this regular predator a traitor? Oh, because he's bringing an anti-predator weapon to the humans. Great. Why was he killing all the humans when he first showed up?
Right. And why would a race of technologically advanced big game hunters that have stealth technology, interstellar travel, a super advanced weaponry, why in God's name would they come to Earth and try to take any aspect of our gene pool?
Right. And why? I don't know, maybe I missed something. I swear I was paying attention, but I was sitting there like, what? Why? I don't understand when the kid who has autism and is the evolution of humanity, Don't get that. And me then neither. It's like, why when he put on the mask and got
that was hilarious when he was trick or treating.
Yeah, it was great.
And like, he fucking kills that guy and he's like, whatever.
I love that. That was hilarious. But when he first put the mask on and he gets that flashback to what the Predator had seen and all the other Predators were like doing some kind of experiment on him.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck was that?
I have no idea.
What was that? That was never mentioned again. That makes no sense. Why they're there. Why the super Predator is there to with two objectives, which is to kill the traitor Predator, who's a traitor for no discernible reason.
He was a traitor because he felt like I guess he was bringing the weapon to stop the super Predators because the super Predators were going to just like kill everybody and take over the planet. Maybe. I don't know.
But we didn't know that is no, my we did thing. Not. Like why? And then why? And to that, why did he show up and start murdering everybody?
Because and they shot at him.
I don't know. Okay, bro. I don't know. You know what? Somebody could walk in my house right now and shoot at me. I'm not going to rip their spine out and polish the goddamn skull as a trophy.
I will.
Okay.
I'll wear it.
Well, I might.
Like epaulets. Epaulets? Sure. How do you say that?
But what I'm going to say is I'm not going to be like, no, I'm here to help you. Oh, you shot at me? Let me rip that motherfucking spine out and polish that skull, brother, and put it on the back wall at the living room. Like that's a little, if I'm here to help, I'm going to try to explain myself. I'm going to do something. Like right. I was just like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's a movie where you can definitely have a good time with it, but as soon as you start thinking about it, it just totally falls apart.
It does. Like, it makes zero sense.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, it introduces one batshit crazy thing after another, and it gives no explanation. So, basically, this is, I hate to say it, like, it's one of those movies where basically you just have to strap in. And you either enjoy the ride or you don't.
Yeah. And I just feel like that's so unnecessary. Like, you can just make a movie that works on multiple. Mm-hmm. Like, it just works. It can be smart and funny and violent and all that shit.
Yeah, right? So, with the cast and aside, Dollar Tree, Jax Teller aside, this cast was a decent cast.
I mean, Thomas Jane, how great was it to see him in something that wasn't, you know, an exclusive to Netflix? Nothing against Netflix exclusives, but
that guy, man, I feel so bad for him because he gets so overlooked by everybody and he's fucking amazing.
He is.
And, you know, he shouldn't have to be the character in Predator who says fuck me in the face with an aardvark. Like he should have been Dollar Tree Jax Teller.
Yeah.
Because who the fuck is that guy?
I have no idea.
He has a character. He has a name that sounds like a character from Justified.
What's his name?
It's not Boyd Crowder, but it's something similar. I don't know who the fuck it is.
Jackson Lickspittle.
hold on. His name is Boyd Holbrook.
Sure.
Tell me that's not a character in Justified.
It is. He was season 4. Here.
Dollar Tree Jax Teller.
Season 4. He was in the Paducah. Whole books. Anyway,
I wanted this to be my favorite movie of the year, man. I got so excited from the first trailer. I didn't even watch any other trailer.
The first trailer was like, I don't know, but the third trailer, I was like, yeah, I'm all in.
You know, I was like Shane Black plus Predator, and I saw that poster with the big Predator. Mm-hmm. Hand holding the tiny Predator with the spine. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I can't wait for it. And then it was a B movie with a multi-billion dollar budget.
That is accurate.
I can't wait
accurate.
To watch it again, knowing what I know now. I feel like I'm going to like it better.
Me too.
But
when I've spent $10 on the Blu-ray and then I can just kind of go, fuck it, who cares?
Upon an initial viewing, I enjoyed things about it, but I can't help but call it anything but a disappointment.
Which is a perfect segue to our next movie.
You hater.
Mandy. which has been heralded as the second coming of Nicolas Cage. Just the movie Nick Cage was born to play because it feeds into the internet meme, however you say it, that Nick Cage is turned into.
Yeah.
So Nick Cage plays a guy, I don't even know his name.
Red,
sorry. Whose wife, girlfriend, Mandy, gets abducted by a cult of dirty hippies.
Yep.
And he goes on a chainsaw wielding vengeance spree to pay back those that took her from him.
Yeah.
And it was kind of originally, not originally, but like when we first started hearing about it, you talked about the visuals and the psychedelic nature of it. And finally, here was a chance for Nick Cage to go full Nick Cage. Ironically, not as a result of just what Nick Cage feels a role needs, but it genuinely required him to be Nick Cage.
Right.
And everybody fucking blew their load all over this movie.
Yeah. So whereas Mom and Dad, I kind of felt like Nick Cage just like came to.
Mm-hmm.
Every day on set, and they rolled camera.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it felt like a character trait.
So
I know you didn't like it. I know.
It okay. It's not that I. No, I guess it is that I didn't like it. Here is my problem with the movie. The first hour is interminable. It is awful.
Yes.
It
takes a while to get going. This movie had no business being over 2 hours long.
It is incredibly boring.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily... I learned more about the relationship between John Wick and his dead wife in 15 minutes of John Wick than I learned about Red and Mandy's relationship in an hour... Except that they missed the perfect opportunity to make a Uranus joke. Then here's the thing. I'm going to say I fucking hate movies with dirty hippie Jesus cults because I can't fucking stand dirty hippie Jesus cults. I couldn't stand The Devil's Rejects because I hated everybody in that movie. Okay. Everybody. So I had nobody to root for.
This was not your movie.
I wanted them to all die. I fucking hated all of the like for me, if you're gonna have the antagonist of a movie be some sort of Jesus freak cult, you need to give me a reason why I can see people being in it.
Yeah.
And Linus Roach, I spent more time staring at Linus Roach's penis than I've probably stared at my own. And it looked nice. It looked perfectly fine.
Mandy didn't think so.
He seemed like he had a nice penis. It's just when he's in the big shoulder pad robe and he's doing. I don't have a problem with penises, but I think we can all agree they're not all that nice to look at. So
Blossom said it best. If I can date myself just a little bit,
please do.
When there was an episode where Six, who we all know, was in love with Joey Lawrence.
Whoa.
Who attended my senior prom, by the way.
Nice.
She somehow, like male nudity came up on Blossom. And Six, who had never seen a naked male at that time, was like, you have nothing but brothers and your dad. You've seen like naked dudes. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, well, what does it look like? And Blossom was like, you know, it kind of looks like an undecorated Christmas tree.
That is accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, well, there right you go.
But anyway, so it's just an hour of you with these people. And then I just didn't care about her. And then I hated the fucking cult. And so you take some solace knowing that they're going to get theirs. But then I didn't understand why people liked the movie as much as they did. I felt like the first hour I hated. So if I have to wait an hour for it to get to a point where I actually care, and then I didn't understand the demon bikers, like what their point, like I didn't understand them. And then Nick Cage does his Nick Cage thing. He yells bees for an hour and he gets in a chainsaw fight. And it's like, okay, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, I feel like this movie, if nothing else, gave me some of my finest Twitter material of 2018. this is one of those movies, and there's one every year almost, that I have friends who are so anti-studio and so into indie, they have to find something to like sink their claws into and put it on this pedestal. And like last year, it was The Void, and
it's a great movie.
Sure, but it was so much more important to people who watch horror who prefer the indie stuff than it would have been to someone who, you know, gets excited about the new Conjuring bullshit or whatever. You know what I mean? And you and I sort of walk this line in the middle of that, I think.
I like good movies. I don't care who made them or what's under what system they were made.
Right, right. And I try my best to be the same way, but I also like the occasional garbage. And I
love the occasional garbage.
You know, and I think that's where this movie hits for me, because you are 100% correct. It makes no sense. It's like the writing isn't quite there, especially if we're expected to connect with these characters. I think that people who love Nicolas Cage, this is like
mana from heaven.
Right. This is like, yeah, exactly. And for me, I can't stand Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Nick Cage in a handful of movies.
Yeah.
The last thing that he was in that I liked was Drive Angry. And that's because it's batshit crazy, but entertaining. And so the second hour of this movie is, if you're going to give me Nick Cage, this is the Nick Cage I want, right? I want him, like I said, I tweeted, the bathroom scene in this movie is what my Friday nights look like.
And Darvin had mentioned that. And I was like, okay, it's just him like yelling. Like he's just drinking a shit ton of vodka and yelling. You know that's what? Not
he's bleeding. He's in
that's
his drawers.
People's childhoods.
He's in his drawers. He's bleeding out of his side from a stab wound that inexplicably didn't kill him. Yeah. And he's just fucking screaming and chugging vodka.
Yeah.
That's my Friday. So it's like,
that's the pre-drunk watch ritual.
Yes. Right. Like immediately after that, if he'd started playing Overwatch with his friends on Xbox, I would have been like, somebody's filming my I'm being watched here. But you know, I don't know, man. It's to me, it's one half of a weird drama that doesn't work, but it's shot with weird, like, that's the thing. Panos Cosmatos, I don't know how the fuck to say it. I feel like he's one of these guys who's so much more style over substance, and like he made one movie that probably was shot weird, and like he has all these disciples now, and so he can shoot whatever he wants, however he wants to, and people are going to call it brilliant, whether it is or not.
Right.
Because I kind of feel like upside down shots with a green filter over them or a green bulb aimed at somebody's hand, that doesn't register as genius to me. Maybe some people think it is. Whatever. But the second hour of this movie is where it got me, because
I don't understand that, because to me it just was it didn't make any sense. Like was just a methodical him just kind of going through and, you know, kind of killing the cult.
But it was so weird. Like I also tweeted, like, you know, if you're in a cult and you have a magical flute that summons the Rough Rider versions of the Cenobites, then I'm in.
But that that just didn't make any sense.
No, but you know, it doesn't have to for me.
I don't know.
I thought it was hilarious. I was laughing my ass off.
And I guess for me, the reason why it was like, Okay, yes. So if it had just been where you play your magic flute, you Zamfir the shit out of it, and all of a sudden fucking Pinhead and his merry band of biker guys show up.
On four-wheelers.
In four-wheelers. And then... But then, like, go back to their trailer park and they're just sitting around in their gimp suit watching porn.
Yeah.
Okay, that kind of takes a little bit of the shine off, right? Like, if I go to Pinhead's house and he's sitting in his underwear or eating fucking Fruit Loops, I'm just not going to be scared of him.
Right.
Right?
Well, I think that's the idea, right? Because so much of it is based on that drug or whatever it was that they were giving everybody that sort of perpetrated this nightmarish reality that and once he confronted them, they were human and they were just guys like you said in their underwear watching porn eating Fruit Loops.
But the outfits.
Yeah, well, sure they wore. You know what? Hey, man, I'll put on a mask every now and again. I like to wear a mask. You know what I mean?
And that's to me what it was is like. It's like, okay, it's not like you went like back to their house and they had the gimp suit in the closet and they just were like sitting around eating. Listen, they were full on still in.
You know what? If I were a drug addict and I did, you know, my job was to scare the shit out of people who had never done said drug before, you know, and I got to wear a badass suit, I'd be wearing it right now. I don't give a fuck.
I guess I appreciate, I can respect their commitment to the craft.
Yeah, right. You know? You never know. Like when the flute blows, you got to get on the four wheeler, dude.
That is true. And those leather suits, they would take a minute to get
exactly.
into.
You don't have time.
No, you're right.
The other thing, like it was so funny to me because you know, like Brother Swan,
mm-hmm.
you know that motherfucker was just straight up nuts,
yeah.
And like. Every time he was on screen, I just couldn't help but laugh. Like, and part of it goes back to Destiny, right? So, like the guy Jeremiah's like, "Bring me Brother Swan."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Yep, here I am. What do you need, Jeremiah?" Like Brother Swan probably never touched the drug. He just went all in on it.
He just wanted to hurt people, and this guy gave him a reason to do it.
Exactly, but he went in on the bit 100%. He's like, "This is the blade, the tainted blade of the pale knight." And it's like, no, that's just a knife.
Yeah, no, he was full Bungie. He's like, this is the dawn of the Reaper's taint.
I loved it. I laughed so hard when he's like, "This is the tainted blade of the pale knight. It has tasted the darkness." And I was like, am I a hunter or a warlock?
You're like, do I get powerful gear from this strike?
Right,
I don't.
Exactly.
What's happening?
Yeah, right. Yeah. If I plunge said blade into the anus of this raid boss, do I get powerful gear or no?
Absolutely. You get some 520 gauntlets.
It was so bad.
You get the Amkara's taint.
Yes, I need that. My hunter needs that. I get why you wouldn't like it, but. For me, it is fucking nuts. And it has like pretty cool kills. It has some great practical effects. It's not my favorite movie of the year by far. But it's the one, this is the first thing that I've seen Nicolas Cage do since Drive Angry that I actually liked.
Hmm. Okay. So. I think for me it was, I mean, I the way you describe it, I can understand why you would like it. I don't understand why it was just kind of like painted as being like the movie of the year.
I agree. Like I've seen reviews and I've watched videos of people who I, you know, somewhat, I don't always agree with, but at least respect their opinion. And people are calling this a masterpiece and the best movie
that
of the year.
Don't get.
100% not the best movie of the year. 100%.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That I don't get.
If you love Nicolas, like batshit Nicolas Cage, and you want to watch him do what he does under green and red lighting, maybe this is your favorite movie. But it's not that movie for me.
I guess what it is in part is that I feel like if you want to see Nick Cage act crazy and overact, you have so many movies to choose from. Yes. Like I could understand. Like I made the comment on Twitter. I said if you want to see just a horrific, violent descent into madness with an actor that completely dissolves into the role, watch You Were Never Really Here.
Yeah.
Because
at
least in that situation, you can look at other things like Joaquin Phoenix has done. Mm-hmm. You can watch him be fucking Johnny Cash, and he's not like fucking caving in dude's skulls with a hammer.
Right.
Right? Like I feel like we're giving points to Nicolas Cage for being Nicolas Cage. The only difference is in this movie, and I think Mom and Dad, they did the same thing. Yeah. They're saying to him, go be Nicolas Cage.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know
act.
Why Mom
just
and Dad is wouldn't get the same kind of level of attention. But
it's not done by a director who has this cult status.
Yeah.
And then it's also not shot with red and green bulbs in every light fixture. And it's and Mom and Dad, you know, somehow inexplicably makes more sense than Mandy.
It absolutely. Mom and Dad is just The Crazies, which I think is a great movie.
Yeah.
The Crazies kind of filmed through the lens of suburban ennui, right? Like The Crazies initially done is more of the kind of small town, you know, like lens. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad is The Crazies plus, you know, like American Beauty, like that undercurrent of just suburban dissatisfaction, boredom, all that stuff. And I feel like it works better than Mandy, which was just some weird kind of drug fueled revenge. And I mean, that's fine. You know,
and it's so bizarre because you watch that trailer, and this is why I'm done with trailers, man. I'm done with trailers, and it's not necessarily this movie's fault, but when you see that Mandy trailer, it looks amazing. It looks fucking insane, but it gives you no inkling whatsoever as to what you're getting into.
Right. It doesn't. And then, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't tell you you're going to be sitting there for an hour going, what the fuck.
Right. And it doesn't, it gives you no idea of the plot. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the movie and you're just like, oh, he's, you know, it's an acid trip, dirty hippie cult movie and a revenge flick sort of. And it's like, that's not at all what I was expecting.
Right.
I know I'm dumping all over it. I enjoyed it. I did. If nothing else, I found it entertaining, and I enjoyed the kills and the effects and like just how fucking insane it got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I at least got something out of that.
Well, I wonder if my opinion would be, you know, this is definitely a situation where knowing more about other people's reactions to it probably didn't help.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. Like I said, I appreciated the fact that you were tweeting about it, because it's sort of like, it kind of brought me down a little bit, because I
that's
hate
what I do. That's follow me on Twitter. You want to be brought down.
Hey, you want your, excitement, you know, you want to be brought back down to reality.
You want your hope just smashed against the rocks of reality. Yeah. That's Mr. Binky at Mr. Binky. That's me 24/7.
I appreciated it, man, because I would have been so much more disappointed with this movie had I not read that you know, kind of didn't like it too much. And I was like, because everybody else was just, like you said, jizzing all over it. And I was like, well, I don't like Nicolas Cage. But, you know, who the fuck else could have been in this? I don't know. Like, it, who else could have been Red? I have no idea. So,
and you know what? I guess I have to agree with you on that. But that doesn't...
Again, doesn't make it a good movie.
I don't know if Nicolas Cage is, like... If Nicolas Cage had made the types of movies that he was capable of making when he made Leaving Las Vegas, that would be a different conversation.
Sure.
But the movies that he has made over the past 10 years, except for, it was his take on Mud. I forget what it was called. Which is actually not bad.
I have probably not seen it, I'll tell you, because I can't stand him.
Well, I liked Mud a lot. That was part of the reconnaissance.
That's right.
I think it was called Joe. I think it was called Joe. Let me see.
Okay. Because I could count on one hand the number of Nicolas Cage movies I like. And unfortunately, like Mandy is number five, so.
Let's see. Yeah, Joe. That's not a bad movie. It's if you've seen Mud with Matthew McConaughey, it's very similar. He's much more grounded in it. But anyway, I think if Leaving Las Vegas was the types of movies that he kind of built a career on, that would be a different conversation. But if, you know, batshit Nick Cage is like, who else could play him? Yeah, that's true, but that doesn't mean it's good. That just means they wanted somebody who was willing to go off the rails for an hour.
Yeah, right. And, you know, but the last, in wrapping Mandy up, as far as things that it kind of reminded me of, like, if you could imagine, if you take Rutger Hauer out of Hobo with the Shotgun and put Nicolas Cage, like crazy Nicolas Cage, in that role, that's what the last half of Mandy is.
Sure.
And, you know, if that sounds like something you'll dig, I think it's a good time if you can get through the first part. But so much of it makes no sense. So much of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you like cool kills and practical gore and like gore on the level of Hobo with the Shotgun, you know, I think you're going to enjoy Mandy.
Sure. So. No, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I guess that's it. That's been quite the bit.
This was a Mitch heavy episode.
That's fine. They should all be this heavy. I don't. Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to hear me talk about their bullshit. So next episode will definitely be The Long Dark. And then I'm sure we'll come up with other things. Venom. Right. And I do need to, I'm very excited that the first Purge comes out on Tuesday because I can finally get all of the Purge movies in one set. Right. So I'm very,
I have seen the first Purge. I haven't seen the TV show yet.
It's good. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. Nice. I'm really digging it. So
I need to catch up on it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watching the first Purge and then kind of rewatching all the other ones.
Don't look too forward to it.
You didn't like it?
You know?
Well, we could talk about it next time.
And then I didn't. I need to watch it again.
Okay.
I thought was really strong. I really liked the beginning.
I think it's just an interesting, and maybe it's the times. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be living in a time where I'm like, that is totally possible.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, right. But I do like the TV show. So
cool. I need to check that out. But yeah, the first Purge, I need to watch it again. But yeah, I remember really liking it initially. And then by the end, I was kind of turned off by it. But.
Okay. All right. But so next show, I guess we'll be doing Venom, Long Dark, and then we'll have to figure out how we can do Halloween in the right way. So this has been, what did we say, episode 56?
56.
Okay. Yep. It's been episode 56 of The Law About Werewolves, and we appreciate everybody hanging out and watching it. And
oh yeah, before we sign off, speaking of episode 55, dude, how fucking cool was it first of all, not only did like a lot of people listen to it, but we got listened to by both writers of Summer of 84, which is so fucking cool.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
They reached out. We're like, thanks for the kind words. So we know they heard it,
right? And I mean, and that's, you know what I mean. As much as you know, I think any time you make something and you hear that people like it, that's a great feeling. So,
sure, absolutely, yeah, yeah. Not to diminish the feedback we normally get.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's cool. That's absolutely cool. And this is, you know, there's a lot of negativity out there, and we certainly, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to say I love everything we watch. This episode is a perfect example, but I think sure. that, you know, I think we try to shine a light on things that we love,
yeah.
you know, just as much as we call out things that we don't. And I actually think we're fairly positive on this show.
I feel like that. I try to be like, because, you know what I mean? Like, I've said it a million times. Nobody's paying me to make shit. So,
right.
like,
right.
So, like, yeah, you know, you may not have enjoyed Mandy or whatever, but you know what? That guy got paid to do that.
And
so,
that's the thing.
Good for him.
I used to kind of fall into this idea of like whether a movie was necessary or not. And now I'm like, you know what? That movie put food on a lot of tables.
Yep.
So,
you know what? And you know, it meant something to somebody. And
it meant something to somebody. That's somebody's dream up on that screen. So good for them.
Yep. Absolutely.
So anyway, this has been episode 56. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it as always. Of course, you can always watch. I stream every night at 7. We need to get Mitch back into streaming. And then we will be back in the next 2 weeks with Venom and The Long Dark. So hopefully you'll be with us with whatever it is we decide to do. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night and have a good evening.